Good morning. Today's topic is discussing deliveries of, or receiving deliveries of packages, letters, magazines, and newspapers. And it could be broken down in several different elements. I want to break it up into a few different shirim. And this week I wanted to discuss the aspect of what's permitted to be read, which is under the category of shtari hadiotos. And over the next few weeks, discuss a little bit about other things to weigh in, such as Hotza, Tchum, Muksa factors. And the next week I plan to give a shir on Shavuos, a Shavuos related topic about the discussion of the differences between Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, why exactly we learn Talmud Bavli over the Yerushalmi as a preparation for Shavuos. So this week I want to discuss Shari Adiotos, and then maybe after Shavuos come back to this topic and go for a few other weeks on this very topic. So I just mentioned a few of the issues that are at play when talking about Shari Hadiotos, which include what's permitted to be read, Hotza, carrying outside, Tchum, Muksa. So let's focus on Shari Hadiotos, which again is literally means a mundane document. Certain documents are allowed to be read on Shabbos, and certain documents are not allowed to be read on Shabbos. And that's based on the Gemara in Shabbos, number one, Daf Kuf Tezayin Mabez. The Gemara says, Amr bi Nechemya, mibnei ma amru, kisvei hekdesh ein korin behen. Why do they say one may not read kisvei Hekdesh or Kisvei Kodesh, Kidei Shiyomru B'Kisvei Kodesh in Koran Kolshkein B'Shtari Hadiota. So a person should say, just like you cannot read Kisvei Kodesh, Tanakh, let's say, so too they're going to say, I certainly shouldn't be able to read Shtari Hadiotos, whatever that includes. Now we don't pass in this way, so one is allowed to learn Tanakh, another Sifrei Kodesh on Shabbos, but what is true is one may not read Shtari Hadiotos. So what's the reason why, whatever Shtari Hadiotos are, we haven't defined yet, but what's the reason why they assered Shtari Hadiotos? So the Rush already gives one reason. The Rush, in the back of Shabbos, says that Shtari Hadiotos are assur because, he gives some examples, Shtari Memkach Memkar, Shtari Chovos Mishkanos, business-related bills. So these things are also Mishim Mimso Chavtzech of Davar Davar. Mimso Chavtzech is a pasuk in Yeshaya that says a person can only deal with things that are Chavtzech. Rather, you cannot deal with things that are Chavtzech. You can't deal with things that relate to your own personal desires, your personal interests, only things that relate to Chavtzei Shemayim. So since a person's reading documents, bills, and newspapers, those things might be considered Mimso Chavtzech, and therefore it's forbidden based on this pasuk, which include many other areas of Shabbos, Uvdu the whole type of topics Rebbe's been discussing, but certain things that are not so Shabbistic, which shouldn't be done. So that's according to the Rush. Mimto Chavtzecha excludes the reading of Shtari Hadiotos. The Rambam, on the other hand, writes in Hilchos Shabbos Halacha, Perkav Gimel Halacha Yud Tes, number 3, Aser Likros B'Shtari Hadiotos B'Shabbos, Shelo Yehi Kederech Chol V'Yavol Limchok. If a person starts reading his papers, his newspapers, magazines, like he reads it regularly, it might lead him to erase something. So I'll mention something happened to me in high school, that I was once reading my paper on my desk in my room, and I wasn't really focused on reading the paper, but happened to be there. I was looking it over, and I took a pen out on Shabbos, I made a quick line, and I said, what did I just do? And I took upon myself, I didn't know this halacha at the time, I took upon myself never ever to read a paper again. So when a person is in the business of reading things that he reads during the week, he gets in that mode of weekday activities and could, you know, Rachman al-Tzan come to do a mechika, ksiva, or something of the sort. So the Rambam was a concern, a gzera that might lead to mechika, and the Rush thought it's an issue of, let's call uvdu d'chol, mimso chavtzecha, doing proper things related to Shabbos.
But that could apply even when you're learning.
So we'll see when you get to, when you're focused on something davar shebe kedusha, davar shebe mitzvah. So then there's a element of thinking about Shabbos, and you're not focused on a normal weekday activity. Now, if a person's learning all week, what's the difference Shabbos and Chol? So hopefully, have the extra year of Shemayim there also might help. I'm not sure. So the Orach HaShabbos writes, we quoted the Sefer last week, we went through the Orach HaShabbos of Reuben. He says there's a big the scope of what's included under Shtari Hadiotos depends on the reason why Shtari Hadiotos were forbidden in the first place. So number 4, he explains that if you understand the reason of Shtari Hadiotos be Asur is because of the pasuk that the Rush brings of Mimso Chavtzecha, then only things that would be related to your personal things would be Asur. But something that's Davar Rishus, which is not necessarily your own need, which is something that's neutral, let's call it, then it would be permitted. But something that is for your own personal use, like a business deal or bills that relate to you, that would be awesome. But something that's davar reshus, let's say, for example, a novel for now. We'll get to maybe later novels or a history book, something that's more neutral, not related to you, but nor is it chepsei shemayim necessarily. According to that approach, it would be mutter. But according to the Rambam, who says it's about there's a distinction between the weekday and Shabbos, then he asks everything that's not considered Shabbos related, anything not related to Torah, anything not related to mitzvah would be awesome. So it would be more expansive according to the Rambam. We'll see later on that according to the Rambam, divrei chachma, history, sciences would be a problem according to the Rambam because it's more expansive. So those are the two basic reasons why Shari Hedyotos are forbidden on Shabbos. So let's talk about the reason why I spoke about this. Someone asked me last week about magazines and letters. So I'm going to first speak about a letter. Someone receives a letter. Now I'm trying to ignore for now the issues of muktzah, the issues of hotzah, tchum. Just focus on, can someone read a letter that was sent him? Let's assume it was sent him before Shabbos. He didn't read it just yet. And let's assume also it's been opened beforehand, but he didn't read the letter yet. May a person read a letter on Shabbos? So Rashi writes in Kuf Tezayin Mabez, this is number 5. He defines Shar Hedyotos, Kigon Shel Cheshbonos, bills, Igros Hashluchos Limsochavsecha, or to send letters to find something that you want. And the way the Rishonim, it's not so clear this is Rashi's intention, but the understanding of the Rishonim is that Rashi means Igros Shel Shalom. He refers to a letter, greetings to you send somebody, a Mother's Day card or something like that. A letter one might send over, one cannot read. It's included under Shari Hedyotos. Tosos has a problem there on the spot. He says, I don't understand. V'tema, dinogu ha'olam likros b'ksav v'igros hashluchem imakum imakum. Everybody reads it. So I would say, so maybe they're doing the wrong thing. Tosos never assumed that. Tosos always assumed, all over Shas, that if people were doing the right thing, they were doing the right thing. If they're doing something, it must be right, and he tries to think of a reason why. So Tosos assumed if people are reading the letters, it's certainly permitted. So why is it permitted? Why are you allowed to read letters on Shabbos? Isn't it a problem of Shtari Hedyotos? So he goes on to explain from Beis Neri that Shtari Hedyotos are only called Shtari Chovos Kiyotiben, bills. But when it comes to Igros Shel Shalom, greetings, letters, those are permitted because there might be a Pikuach Nefesh. Now put yourselves back before we had internet and telephones, and you didn't know what was going on. You could receive a very important telegram or letter that there's an army advancing very quickly, and you have to get out of town as soon as possible. Or someone might be really, really sick and they need your help. So there could be a very serious letter that's being sent to you, which you have no idea what's in the letter. So for pikuach nefesh reasons, a person may be allowed to open up, or forget opening up for now, but one may read a letter on Shabbos, according to the Tosfos. But Rashi says one may not read letters. He was not concerned with the pikuach nefesh aspect. How do we pass when it comes to letters? So the Shulchan Aruch, if you turn to page number 2, number 7, Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Shabbos Simen Shin Zayin, he says in Sif Yud Gimel initially, that Shtari Hedyotos, which are Shtari Chovos, Cheshbonos, these are documents, bills, mortgages, Ego Shel Shela Shalom, sending regards to somebody, these are all Aser Lekrosam, like Rashi says, it's Aser to read Ego Shel Shalom. Vafilu La'ayin Behem Below Kriya, even to just look over them, scan them without reading them, is also Aser. But then in Siv Yadal, he pulls back a little bit and says, Likros Bigaris Hashluch Alo, if it's sent to you, Im Eino Yodea Mak Kasaba, if you don't know what the letter actually says, then Mutter, one is allowed to, Velo Yikar Befiv El Yainba, one can scan over the letter. Why? What's the reason for this? We're ignoring the last part of the Shulchan Aruch, that's a Tchum-related issue. But why can one read a letter if he doesn't know what it says? Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Nun Dalet, right there, number 8, the Shema Yeshba Davar Shu Tzarech Haguf. There might be Pekuach Nefesh. Might be something very dangerous that they're being sent over to him to leave the city, leave the town as soon as possible. So for that reason, one's allowed to read a letter on Shabbos if he doesn't know what it says. But if he read the letter beforehand, or it's a report card or something like that, where it's certainly not a pikuach nefesh, so one's not allowed to read that on Shabbos. It's included under Shtari Hedyotos. So Moshe was asked the Shaila, number 9. Im mutter letaltel miksavim shegiu b'Shabbos bizman hazeh. If a letter comes to you on Shabbos, one may read this letter on Shabbos. So I'm ignoring all the issues right now of, again, Hotzah and Muktzah and Tchum. But just, may one read it. Let's say it came before Shabbos and you didn't read it just yet. May you read that letter on Shabbos. There might be Pekuach Nefesh. Says Rav Moshe in the bold, B'medina Zu, in America, She'ika telefonin kimat b'chol bayis, which I think everybody now has a telephone, whether it be a landline, more likely a cell phone. Ein lachush ledavar nachutz l'tzarech haguf mamish. We're not concerned. If there's an important matter, someone will call you on the phone, send you an email. Letters are pretty much obsolete nowadays, at least letters of greeting letters. So therefore, one cannot look at a letter nowadays because there's no pikuach nefesh that's going to be written, according to Rav Moshe. He has another tshuva, which is written a little bit later, the very next siman in his in the Igros Moshe. He was asked how one defines a tzarech haguf for a letter. What's considered good grounds to open up a letter? And he says that any letter that does not have dini mamonis related to it, it's mutter to read. So there he says, one is allowed to read a letter that might be a Mother's Day card, or it's just a letter you send to your kids in camp, or the kids send you from camp to during the summer, a letter of what they're doing during camp. That's permitted, according to Rav Moshe, as long as it doesn't deal with mamonis. So here he's much more makil, that one can read any letter as long as it's not related to business. So there are two different tshuvas, so which one do we paskin like? So the Rav Simcha Bar Mikon says he saw in another sefer that said Ramosha Paskin Lamaskana, like the first tshuva, more machmir, that one's not allowed to read any letters at all because the only heter in the first place was Pikuach Nefesh. It's considered Shar Hedyotos. Because of Pikuach Nefesh, there was a heter. Pikuach Nefesh is not a relevant factor nowadays since we have telephones and email, so therefore it's also to read any letter. This is only even when a person doesn't read it. But if a person read it, Kavachomer, it's going to be usur to read a letter on Shabbos. I know this is a bit scary and overwhelming for many people, not to read letters. What's the big deal about reading letters? But I guess along with the Rebbe's been talking about the past 2 weeks, how Shabbos is a completely different type of Kedusha, it changed our whole way of thinking. It's a big Indian. And I was walking home this past Shabbos with my son. We were walking along Central Avenue, which may not have been the best approach. But walking along Central Avenue, you have to be so careful not to look into certain stores and what it's written on top of the signs and certainly the sale prices. It's a very challenging thing, but it changes your whole Shabbos when you think of it that way. Hopefully at the end I'll discuss how it's not such a negative thing, but there's a lot of positive that's also created from changing your Shabbos in this way. So that's the discussion of reading letters. What about Sifrei Chachma? When it comes to different types of subjects, sciences, histories. So the Gemara in Daf Kuf Mem Tesam and Aleph tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, Kosav HaMahalik, Ksav HaMahalik Tachas HaTzur. If there's a writing, a caption, below a picture or below Dikyonos or below a certain portraits, also L'Krosav HaShabbos, one may not read a portrait or rather a caption below a picture. Rashi explains, number 12, Shema Yikara B'Shar Hedyotos, because that might lead to Shar Hedyotos. If I'm going to read captions below pictures, then I might end up reading letters. And that's going to be against Shabbos, which might lead me to erase something. Or maybe it's going to be included in Mim Soch Afsecha. So just like one cannot read letters extended through that, one may not read captions under pictures. A storybook to your children might be included under this. Now, I'm not saying that's us per se, but at this stage it sounds like if you have a picture book, you're reading to your child, you're reading what's below it, or you're looking through a book of animals they talk about, and there's some, this animal's an elephant, and this animal's an alligator, that might be a problem according to this Gemara here. So Tosfos takes this Gemara and extends this concept. In number 13 he says, Umihu oson milchamos haksuvim bilaz, those wars that are written in books, which we would call probably history books. Nira l'Rabbeinu Yehuda de'aser l'ayin behen. One may not look at them. De lo garame hadetan. It's no worse than that which is written in the Gemara in Kufman Tefs, Kufman about Kosav Ksav Shetachas Atzura. Reading the captions we just saw in the Gemara is aser. By extension, says Tosfos, one may not read history books either because it's reading about its Shtari Hedyotos. I'm not going to address the last line where he says even b'chol that might be a problem, but certainly on Shabbos, the Tosfos Paskin's history books is a problem. Now, the Rambam in Perashat Mishnayos writes, in number 14, he is discussing another topic which we might have time to discuss at the end about reading lists, guest lists. So in discussing this, he mentions that one may not read any Chachma or Mada. Outside of Torah, outside of Kedusha, one may not read any sciences or any other subject, even though it might be Chachma, even though it might be poetry, art, science, like whatever it might be. That is all Aser, Lefi the Rambam. But then the Rashba has in a tshuva, an interesting discussion. He says in number 15, the bottom of page 2, Hey Shiva'od, Shemutter B'Shabbat Lahabit B'Asholab, which I imagine is a telescope, D'Klihu, it's a Kli, and that's permitted to be used. V'chol Kli Mutter L'Tzarech Gufo V'Afilu Kli Shel Machtel Iser, you could use it when you want to have it for use. So you could take a look in your telescope and look at the stars, the planets, the moons, and V'chol Shekein She'ein Alek Echad Misifrei Chachma. It's no different than any other science that we have. And it's permitted to use the telescope on Shabbos. Now let's talk about using it. It's not talking about studying the science of astrology or astronomy, but using the telescope. So based on this, the Shulchan Aruch has two different opinions. Number 16, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Aser lilmo b'Shabbos v'yomtiv zulas b'divrei Torah. The only thing one may learn on Shabbos is Torah. V'afilu b'sifrei chachmos aser. Even sciences, even arts are also aser. V'yesh mishamati. There are those who permit it. But based on those who permit learning this category of sciences, one would also be able to look in a telescope like the Rashba said. So the Mishnah Berurah explained in number 17, what's the explanation of Yeshimatir? That's the custom to be makil, to learn such subjects. One may learn sciences on Shabbos. The custom El Yeraba, the Yerei Shemaim, Roy Lahachmir, Beze, a Yerushimaim should be machmir not to read such sciences, Ki Ramam Haran Osrim. Because we saw the Ramam in Peish Mishnah also said it's usur to learn sciences, so one should be machmir for that position. And but that's the, again, according to Shulchan Aruch and according to Mishnah Berurah, one's allowed to, but one should be machmir if need be. So what's included under sciences? What's permitted according to the position who thinks it's mutter? What's is considered a science? So we saw already history is out. History is not considered a science. But they say Jewish history, the Mishnah Berurah writes elsewhere, Jewish history is considered science. Well, not so much a science, but it's a chachma that helps understanding Torah. Sciences, the post can point out, refuah, medicine, is also considered a science. That's considered under this category of permitted to be studied on Shabbos. What about studying for tests? So studying for tests also, as long as it's one of the categories, the subjects that's mutter, one may study for a science test, a physics test, a chemistry test, but he can't say he's studying for the test. He has to just study, because if you mention you're studying for the test that's coming on Tuesday, that's the issue of hachana. So just study for that test. But a history test, it's harder to find the heter to study a history test, but ask someone.
Would that include also, let's say, literature, or like we said, poetry? These things would also not necessarily fall under the chachma.
To my understanding, it would not fall under. Could be others argue. I don't believe it. I didn't see this even addressed here, but to my understanding, I don't think it would be considered chachma, but I could be wrong. Others could argue.
Meaning only like natural sciences, things like that?
I think so.
Psychology?
Imagine psychology is considered a regular science. That's what I think.
If that's the case, would it be permitted?
It would be permitted, correct. It's permitted, right. So, again, the Shulchan Aruch has two opinions. The Mishnah Berurah says the custom is to yimekel, but at Yerush Shemayim, Shvi Machmir. Now, the Shmir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman that he talks about cookbooks. What about cookbooks? So he says one's allowed to read through cookbooks because it's also a science. You understand? It doesn't tell you to light the fire. It doesn't tell you which melachas to do. It just goes through this ingredient, this amount, do this and do that. It does mention sometimes, you know, bake at 350 or 450. But he says, Shlomo Zalman thought that the reading of cookbooks is considered a science and would be therefore permitted. Okay, so that's the discussion of various sciences and subjects on Shabbos. Then we get into a discussion of what's called in the poskim, I'm probably not pronouncing it the right way, Zeitung or Itonim, newspapers. So the Shush Yaakov was asked this question about reading newspapers on Shabbos, which of course is very relevant and pretty common. I'm not going to, again, address issues of being delivered on Shabbos right now, which have issues of Hotzah, Tchum, Muksa, perhaps even Nolad issues. It was made on Shabbos. Those are other issues we're going to ignore for now. We'll come to, hopefully, after Shavuos. But the issue is, let's say a newspaper arrived before Shabbos, may one read a newspaper on Shabbos itself? So, he said many people were reading these newspapers, and we're reading number 19. He says, "Ashikarim b'Shabbos kisvehem shenidfasu chidushayim misupurim milchamos." All the news is written in these papers. V'kiyot b'hem shikarim b'la near tzaitung. I'm not sure to pronounce it. I apologize. V'alo aser likros b'Shabbos misupurim milchamos k'mivur sham borachayim. We already paskin that one may not read history books. So, okay, this news is a little bit fresher than the history book about a few hundred years ago. This happened yesterday, last night. So it's history, though, but it's a fresher history. So it seemingly one should be forbidden from reading any newspapers because it's in the category of history books. So he ends up writing on the towards the bottom. He says, "Al das kriyas hanaya tzeitung b'Shabbos of efshir lomar shesovrin deha depasik de asa likos specific milchamos." That which is also to read the milchamos, the storybooks of history. That's only because they're really, really old. It's really old, and there's no tzarich behem. Aval b'soch ksav es chadshus. When it comes to news that printed recently, there might be tzarich heaguf, a pikuach nefesh related matter. Like we said before, the letters. A person may read a letter if there's a concern of a pikuach nefesh. There might be something very important for him to know that the army's advancing. He needs to get out of town as quick as possible. Well, the news also might have some very important information that there's an army that's advancing. He better get out of town as soon as possible. So based on the heter of tzarech pikuach nefesh, Shuz Yaakov thought it's permitted to read the news. But based on what we saw in Rav Moshe, that nowadays we have telephones, we have internet, seemingly this heter wouldn't be applied. I saw a posting who pointed out, nowadays there would be no heter. This would not be a good heter to rely on reading newspapers because it can't be a tzarech nefesh anymore because they would have told us, we'd have heard on the news the day before. We'd have saw on the TV or the internet or the phone, and what's in the newspaper might be written in a very nice way, but won't have anything too much that's so important for us to know that we have to leave town as soon as possible. So what's a heter, if there is one, to read newspapers on Shabbos? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Shin Aleph, number 20, he writes that Bochum hamisanigin bekfitzasim murutasim mutter. So young boys who like to get enjoyment from jumping, from running, from, let's say, playing ball, which is a whole other discussion. I forgot the Uvda Techola Rebbe was talking about, but just Mikar Din right now, if one does get such a naw, it's mutter. V'chein liros kol davar shemisanigin bo. Also to look at something that they get enjoyment from looking at. So they want to read through Sports Illustrated or whatever magazine they're looking through. So that would be permitted if there's a certain oneg that he gets from looking at these. But then the Magen Avraham writes, what's the basis for such a heter? Number 21, he says, Afal pisha aser liros duknios kamosh kosov simon shinzai. One cannot look at shtar hedyotos. It's aser too. Just because he enjoys it, we could just uproot an Isser on Shabbos? He says, Mikol Makim im haya haruya oniglo mutiliros. If he gets hanah, haruya oniglo mutiliros, if he gets hanah from reading the Sports Illustrated, from reading the scores are, then because it's his onig Shabbos, one's allowed to read these papers. That's what the Magen Rebbe writes.
Animals or seeing sights. As far as reading something, besides the issue of learning about, there's also the fact that there's still with all kinds of other information besides possible war, advertisements and the economy and many, many things that you're not allowed to read. So the simple shot is to go see things. I don't know what it's about. Is it about reading material?
Right. So I agree that the simple pshat is the re'iyah, just looking at things. Yeah. The Prima Gaon takes that and extends it even to reading. In number 22, he goes through that. Even reading would be included if there's a certain oneg involved. And then I'll get to the end that Hever Shlomo Zalman and others say the other factors, as Rabbi mentioned, even though there might be some articles that are good, there's still all the advertisements to consider as well. But strictly speaking, though, to look at something, the Magen Avraham is talking about going to, let's say, the zoo, to look at animals, to look at the forest, to look at the flowers, that's permitted because that's the oneg that a child might get from looking at these things. And again, by extension, the Prima Gaon writes in number 22, reading things would also be included. So let's say reading a novel or something that a child might enjoy, that would be permitted under this category of oneg Shabbos.
Assuming the above bar mitzvah, not talking about like na'arim.
L'chor, right? I mean, the age of chinuch would also probably be included also. But again, if they get a certain oneg Shabbos, anyone above the age of chinuch has to be keeping to all hilchos Shabbos,
right,
whatever they're capable of doing. But it's above the age of chinuch, as long as they get enjoyment. But there's a certain point where a person has to decide, should he be learning or should he be reading a novel? That's a different discussion, though.
There's a distinction between sort of isolated reading, a novel, and a reading that's sort of a draw into a larger experience, like a newspaper, where you draw into an article, but what they're really doing is they want you to turn a page and see an ad, and turn a page and see another ad. So based on this, it seems like there's a proliferation of every Shabbos table has four or five papers and newspapers and magazines, from magazines. So where does all that fall in? Can you read your, without naming any, local paper, local magazine, from magazine? That seems to be what everyone has on their tables on Shabbos.
Right, so we're going to get to that discussion. I think it's the very next point, that you're going to get involved, and even though you're reading good articles, the advertisements of certain events, Shavuos events along the way, might throw out some issues of business-related topics. So right now we're focused on the Chachma itself, the article itself, and then we'll talk about
you can read that article.
Exactly.
That interests you, that Gadol, that you're just focused on that article as well.
Right, so in terms of what's considered an article, so reading about a Gadol, even someone else who might give a certain Yir Shemayim or certain stories are also included as Onik Shabbos for certain people. But if it's about Gadolim and Musar, that's more on the realm of Torah. Those are about just an interesting article about someone who did wonderful things, which you get certain Onik would be more like a novel, which would be permitted, but a Yir Shemayim maybe should decide whether he should be learning better or reading a novel. So, based on this Magen Avraham, the Shenas Yavetz writes in number 23, the top of page 4. He says nearly Pashut. In the beginning of the Tshuva, he writes, it seems obvious to him that it should be Pashut. She'enem bechlal iser shar hedyotos. He did not think that newspapers were included in the category of shar hedyotos. No different than igros hashaleach, igros shalom, which if there's a certain pikuach nefesh, one's allowed to read a letter, so too one could read newspapers. But then he retracts a little bit, but then he says in the middle of the tshuva in the bold, v'tsar limonea pifrat haragi lakosim. But somebody has a difficulty without reading the newspaper. People are sometimes addicted to the newspaper. They need to get the newspaper first thing in the morning. They need to know what happened the night before. Who won the sports game? They need to know what happened. So such a person, he says, he says it's freely permitted because it'd be included under what they would call Oneg Shabbos. That's his Oneg Shabbos. He doesn't have the paper. He doesn't know who won the score. Again, I'm ignoring the other issues of papers, but just reading the papers. Let's say it was Friday's paper, so he's reading, didn't get a chance to read it, so he could read the score because he has that certain cheshek, he has the desire, he's almost addicted to reading the paper. It's his own Shabbos. But then he pulls back and says, I think there's another reason to be very stringent by newspapers. At the end, there's the real estate section. And this house is on the market, that house is on the market, and this business is being sold. And for those reasons, for all the advertisements along the way, and the real estate section and the business section, he thinks it's us. Even though, again, isolated the sports section or the different articles might be mutter, but since it's filled with all the advertisements or the business advertisements, he therefore thinks it's usher to read. It's had to be paskim. So the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Zayin, number 24, writes, Le'inyan Kriyas Taitungin, B'Shabbos Av Shebetshuvas Shvas Yaakov Mekel B'zeh, even though Shvas Yaakov, like we saw, is Mekel, Har B'Achronim Osen B'Pnei She'esh B'Hem Yediyas Me'inyani Masem Atem, because they're filled with business articles and business advertisements, Mishnah Berurah paskins it's usher. But Shmir Shabbos writes in number 25, Me'ikra Din Mutil L'Kra Chadashos B'Itan, really one's allowed to read the newspaper. So if a person can really focus his eyes on the article alone, which is pretty hard to do, because the articles, the advertisements are meant to catch your eye. Now, if they're not catching your eye, they're probably not a good advertisement, but they're meant to catch your eye. So if you can really have good focus and look at the article alone, which oftentimes they have like parts of the article, and then it's broken with another, you know, advertisement, and then you go to page 54 for the other part, and they break it up with another. So it's almost impossible to avoid reading the advertisements. So for that reason, it'd be very, very challenging to get around the problem of reading any newspaper. Even the from newspapers, Lechora, should be a problem, and the magazines as well.
There's a difference between reading an advertisement and reading an article, as in you're putting more das into the article versus just skimming the advertisement, and it's gone within seconds out of your mind.
So that might be true, but he is still, nonetheless, Shmir Shabbos himself writes, even La'ayin, even just scan the advertisements would be a problem, would be included under the category of Shtar Hediotos. Now, I should distinguish between different types of advertisements. Advertisements for a Shavuos event or for a dinner for some organization would be permitted because it's for a good tzarech, for a tzarech mitzvah. If it's an advertisement for, I don't know, pick your, whatever advertisement for a circus coming to town, nothing to do with Pesach, so then it would be a problem.
So if one printed out an article from a newspaper online before Shabbos, would that be more in the realm of something that's mutter?
Yeah, if there's no advertisements, then certainly would be mutter, as long as the article has no information that's not business-related.
A non-business-related.
Yeah, like a neutral article.
Yeah.
So it seemingly would be permitted. Corey, if it's your own Shabbos, there is certainly room to be mekel. Okay, let's discuss now a little bit about guest lists. The Gemara number 26, Gemara Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Chesam Beis, is a Mishnah that tells us that Mona Adam Es Orchov Ves Proprios Bepiv. A person may go through his guest list or go through what his menu is on. He's hosting a meal on Shabbos Avat Lo Minaksa, but he cannot read through on a piece of paper. He could go through in his head and say, "Okay, I invited this person and that person. I'm having this and having that." But to go read it on a menu, a list itself, is a problem. What's the reason? So the Gemara, going on to Kuf Mem Tesam Nalav, tells us it's a machlokas. Some say the issue is gzeira shem yimchok. If you see the guest list, or you see that person's not here, or you initially invite him, then you change your mind, you want to erase him off, cut him off the list, or it may be something you wanted to make initially, but realize you don't have chulin, so you cross off chulin, that's not on the list anymore. So there's a concern you might erase something, cross something out, so that's why some think it's usher to read a guest list or a menu. But Abai thinks the issue is it's a problem. If you start reading menus, then it might lead you to start reading Shtar Hediotos in newspapers and letters, which is a more serious problem. So based on this, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that what we just saw, that one may not read any guest lists. But there is a heter, says the Magen Avraham, that number 29, Kasav Abach, Mashinogin Sheashamish Kori Lesud Mitoch Haksav. People have a host, not the host itself, but let's say the caterer who's running the Shabbos program. He's reading the guest list, who's invited. So that apparently was, the people were makel with respect to that. So what's the heter? Mitoch haksav, they would read the guest list, not the host, but the person again running the program, the caterer. Aser, nehid l'shama yimchok leka. So we're not concerned, we're only concerned that the host himself or herself is going to cross something off. For the caterer, we're less concerned that he's going to cross something off the list. But there's still a concern, ela kishabal hasu debasmo kara. We're only concerned if the host himself reads the list, will he cross things off the list. But mikol makom iklim migzer mishum shema yikare. But the other concern of the Gemara is, if the caterer is reading this list, this guest list, it might lead him to start reading Shtar Hediotos. So shouldn't we be concerned, then shouldn't that be also for anybody to read a guest list or to read a menu? So says the Magen Avraham, Vani Omer Minag Yisrael Torah. What Minag Yisrael does is always right. So what's the explanation? Why is it permitted? Deha cheshbonos shel mitzvah shari. No, these are cheshbonos. These are lists, but they're lists of Torah and the list of Torah related. Since it's talking about a suda shel mitzvah, a suda shel mitzvah is permitted to be written, to be read rather, because once it's in the realm of mitzvah, we're not concerned. It's not considered shar hedyotos anymore. Shar hedyotos is only mundane articles, mundane topics. But a guest list for a sheva brachos for a Shabbos suda, that's betarach mitzvah, and therefore it's permitted. But again, that's only when the non-host reads it. When the host is reading it, there still is a concern that he or she might cross someone or erase someone off the list. So the Shari Tshuva, number 30, brings an interesting discussion as well. He also explains that this minug for a shamish to read from the guest list is permitted. And he brings an interesting raya based on the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. That the whole confusion, who got invited, you weren't supposed to be here, you were not invited, get out of here. The whole story of the Gemara and Gittin will lead to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So based on those confusion, there's a heter for the shamish to read the list. We don't want anyone to feel like they weren't invited. And if you don't have the list in front of you, you're doing it based on what you're remembering, you might invite the wrong person and cause a whole machlokas like we saw in the Gemara and Gittin. So based on that, says the Shari Tshuva, one's allowed to read a guest list. But again, not the host, him or herself, but the caterer is allowed to read the list. The Prima Gadim does write such a heter if two people are reading it together. So let's say the hostess really wants to make sure that everyone's there for the Shabbos. So if she and her husband, if the husband's not so involved in the organizing, then they could watch over each other to make sure no one's going to cross off. You have a shomer. We have a concept of a shomer in general. There's the Gemara talks about, and it's brought down in the halacha, a person who used to learn by lights, by candles. But you can't learn by yourself because you might turn the candle, twist it, and make it go out, make it go longer. So if you have a shomer watching over you, so then you're allowed to read by the candle because he's going to make sure you're not going to violate the issue of kibbutz, of extinguishing the fire. There's an interesting story once that Rav Chaim Kanievsky was once asked to be a shomer for the Chazon Ish when he was learning in Bnei Brak. And I think Rav Chaim was sent home. The Chazon Ish, he said he did a bad job. He sent him home. And Rav Chaim was he felt bad. He was discouraged. So Rav Chaim's mother said, don't worry about this. I had the same problem with Yosa. One time I was watching and the Chazon Ish was his uncle. So Chazon Ish's sister was Rav Chaim's mother. So the Chazon Ish once asked his sister, Rav Chaim's mother, to watch him. So Chazon Ish was learning, and he just couldn't see something, so he started taking the candle. And then the Chazon Ish's sister didn't know what to do. Like, this is a Chazon Ish, I can't tell him to stop. And he said, oh, I just was testing you and you didn't pass. You're done. And he kicked her out. Same thing happened to Rav Chaim, he kicked her out. So we see the concept of a shomer, you have to watch over them. So here too, also, if you have a shomer watching over you, if you want to read the guest list, there's a heter to read the guest list with two people together based on that sugya. So we see from all this, there's certainly a lot to, you know, can be changed, a lot to deal with in terms of what can be written, what can be read rather, newspapers, magazines, letters, and whatnot. There's a whole larger discussion. I plan, Blinether, after Shavuos, to maybe go through Orcha Shabbos again together and go through all the examples and get them real halach lemaisa. Before I just finish, I want to just discuss one topic I wanted to discuss last week. I didn't have time. I'd like to address it this week. And that is, we've been discussing the past few weeks over the course of Sfiras Omer, Hilcha Shabbos, and I think we're going to continue after Shavuos, Blinether. And the question is, what's the connection of Shabbos to Sfiras Omer? So we read yesterday's Parsha's Emor, the halacha is the psukim of Sfiras Omer, and the Mepharshim all try to figure out what exactly Sfiras Omer is doing in the middle of the Ma'adim. So famously the Ramban writes, because Sfiras Omer itself is a Chol Moed, it's sandwiched between Pesach and the beginning, Shavuos at the end, and it's the Chol Moed in between, going from Pesach up until Shavuos. The Sfas Emes writes that no, the Sfiras Omer period is more Bebechinas Shabbos. The reason why it's in Emor, because Bechina Shabbos, we say Sheva Shabbosos Tzimimos, that it's a Shabbos. There's seven Shabbosos. It's not there's 7 weeks, there's seven Shabbosos of Sfiras Omer. So what does it mean that Sfiras Omer is Bechina Shabbos? So Shur explains to Sfas Emes, which he does all the time, that Sfas Emes is telling us that just like Shabbos is Bechina of Bittel, one's Mevatel his own Das, Mevatel his own Malach, he's doing nothing, he's completely holding back from everything. So to Sfiras Omer is the same period of being Mevatel ourselves and working on our Midos, being Bittel. And this idea of bittel throughout Sfiras Omer, bittel our das, bittel ourselves, is very much highlighted, I think, in last week with the week of Hod. Last week we started, last Sunday, I wanted to speak about this. Pesach Sheni was the first day of the week of Hod. And it was highlighted by Wednesday night of Hod Shabbahod, Lag Bomer. So what's the significance? Why is Hod such a big week? So they point out that Hod is Lashon Hodah. When a person gives Hodah, he thanks someone, he's giving up of himself. He's Mevat his own, he's depending on somebody other than him. That's his way of being Mevat himself. So that's why Hod is such a big, big Inyan during Sfiras Omer. And on Lag Bomer, it's Hod Shebehod, it's even greater Bittel of admitting to somebody other than themselves. And Pesach Sheni also, I'm not going to get into this right now, but the Shem Yishmuel point out that Pesach Sheni was also called Pesach Katan, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. Pesach Katan is about being Mevata oneself, and this whole connection that's connected to Yosef Tzadik, but also Pesach Sheni is a din of Katnus, of Bittul oneself. So the question becomes, if Sfirat HaOmer is all about Bittul, so we're supposed to grow and build up and climb the ladder to get to Sfirat HaOmer, eventually to Shavuos. So if we're being Mevata ourselves, how we expect it to grow to Kabbalah Satorah. And moreover, in a deeper level, the nature of Hod, we're told, Hod is where it gives off. It's supposed to take the aura of the Chesed, the Gur, and the Feras, and Hod is supposed to shower it down. But if Hod is being Mevatel oneself, how is one able to Mevat themselves in turn to respond and give something off? If Hod is about Hodah, thanking somebody, usually more passive, how does that create someone to be make them more proactive? So I'd like to share a story with you. It might come as a surprise to many of you, but I went to high school, I went to Frisch for high school, and more surprisingly, I started a point guard on the basketball team. And one time we were playing in TBC, and it was a tied game, 20 seconds left of the game. They called a timeout, and TBC had the ball. They were down at that end of the court, and they had to go down the opposite end of the court, and they set up the plays, they drew up the plays. So they came out, TBC took out the ball on that end. I was watching my guy, the point guard, was the opposite end, you know, hiding away in the corner. I was standing in the center at half court between the ball and the man. So they set their plays up. The ref blows the whistle. You hear the squeaks of the sneakers, boom, boom, picks. So some guy breaks loose and he gets the pass. So he's completely off. He's at the top of the key heading this way. I'm the middle. So this guy, his name was Shami Elstein. And he was built like LeBron James. He was a college athlete build for us high school players. And I was, I didn't yet look like James Harden, but I was much smaller than him. So this guy, Shami Elson's coming down really hard, really fast. I'm in midcourt, you know, trying to play between him and the other guy in the corner, slowly moving back and back, and he's just going full force. And at a certain point, I'm backing up. We're underneath the basket now. I said, oh, he's not stopping. So I just planted my feet on the ground, put the hands up, hoping for a charge. He plows right over me. And you're expected, what the ref's reaction? Either it's going to be blocking, I think these are the right, I don't remember, blocking, or like a charge, right? So the ref gets up, a little like delay, he calls a charge, blows a whistle, and the referee, there's no call that you get more excited to call than a charge. And the place is wild. I just got flattened. But despite the fact that I got flattened, the adrenaline, the rush from that gets you right back up. And the call was for me to take the ball the last 10 seconds. I didn't score, but overtime, the adrenaline was still there. I scored 5 points, and then overtime, we won the game. But so the idea is that same adrenaline rush you get when you're plowed over with that charge is the same adrenaline, the spiritual rush that one's supposed to get. When you're mevatel yourself, you're mevatel your das and Shabbos. Now, it's so hard. Everyone's like, I can't read newspapers, I can't read magazines, I can't look at advertisements. That same bittul that we go through, even though it's hard, the response, that adrenaline, that spiritual adrenaline, is supposed to keep us driving. So, Mirta Hashem, as we continue to learn Shabbos through Sfirat HaOmer and afterwards, should give us that drive to Mekabel Torah in the best way possible.
I had a similar maisa. it was on the football team. Because we were playing against Salomon Shachter. There was a guy that was like six stories tall. And had this, and it was by the sidelines. I just stepped aside and let him go. that was my bittle. Go ahead. Okay, so we're learning something very, very important. The fact that we began with the specific subject of this new hamtza'ah, my now okay, ready be that it's gone, but this hamtza'ah of the Shabbos, which raised the whole topic, which anyway needed to be discussed for a long time. How in halacha, I'm not talking about in machshava, I'm not talking about Shabbos, but in halacha, the sugi of Uvdan Dechal, covered Shabbos. There's many, many areas in halacha. And in order to understand this properly, we have to really take a look at the mitzvahs asay of Shabbosam, of Shvisa. We need to understand, we're not going to talk now about Lamtes Malachas. You recall last week, we saw Tshuva from Rav Moshe, and we saw from the Historic Tshuva, from Shimon Seifer, that there are many, many halachas in Hilchas Shabbos that do not depend upon the Lamtes Malachas necessarily. Not even Shema this or Shema that, or Gzeira Shema, but rather because they're rooted in the mitzvah of Medivrei Nevi'im, Medivrei Kabbalah, Mimtzoh Chavetzachah, that we're just talking about, V'daber Davar, She'eloi Yehei Diburcha B'Shabbos Ki Diburcha B'chol, V'Shalei Hilucha B'Shabbos Ki Hilucha B'chol, and so on. Uvna D'chol, it's rooted in the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, to be sure. The truth is that there is a mitzvah Seim D'Raisa, and there's a famous Ramban that we're going to do. We'll talk about this a little bit. But the Yesod of the Ramban is something which affects Kol HaTorah, our entire understanding of Torah. And I'm not sure we'll have time today to get to the B'negei to Shabbos, I think so. But as far as the Klal of the Ramban that I think that many of you are familiar with, is Davka going through these Parashas Kedoshim, in Parashas Arma, these Parashas Davka, where we find the Ramban returning time and time again to this very big Yisod. The Ramban teaches us that there are two types of mitzvahs. There are two types. The first type is where the mitzvah, where the Torah tells us a specific chiyuv, a specific requirement according to halacha, with the lula, with the arbaminim, with the shofar, whatever it is, the Torah tells us something specific, a requirement, or there's a specific iser that the Torah tells us. And oftentimes there's a cheftze, there's an object of mitzvah, such as a shofar, and there's an object of iser, such as avodah zarah, and so on. And there the Torah speaks about something which is mugdar. It's mugdar, it's misuyam, specific. Then the Ramban says that there's another type of mitzvah in the Torah that's called a mitzvah klolis, a general mitzvah. Again, this is not as clear, and it's much more vague. But here the Ramban says we're not talking about a particular object, necessarily. And we're not talking about even a maisim mesuyim. Just that the Torah has given us certain guidelines to dictate the proper behavior of a Jew using common sense. Using seichel, common sense. For instance, the most famous of all of these is the mitzvah Kedoshim Tiyu, which the Ramban is one of the most famous Rambans in all of Chumash. Where there the Ramban writes, the Lashon is, Achre Sheparat HaIsurim She'osar Esom Legamre. The question the Ramban is dealing with is, what is the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu? What is the Torah telling us to be holy? What is that? What does it mean to be holy? So the Ramban explains that if the Torah has just concluded Achrei Mos, with all of the particular actions, and Gilerais and so on, that are the antithesis of Kedusha, and there the Torah at the end of Achrei Mos is very, very clear, dealing with specific Yisurim. So after that, the Ramban writes, Achrei Sheparat HaYisurim She'osar Esom Legamrei V'tziva, then he says, then the Torah tells us a Dover Klali, a general commandment, V'tziva B'Dover Klali, Sheni Yeprushim Min Hamutaros. A davar klali is, now that the Torah has told us that these are particular acts that are forbidden, the Torah is now moving on and saying to us a klal, that there is a goal that the Torah has in mind with all of these isurim, and that's to achieve some sort of a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in order for that to happen, there are things in life, the Ramban tells us, without going through the entire Ramban, I think you all learned it, that there are things in life that are permitted. Not only are they permitted, but there's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of husband and wife. That's a mitzvah. And there's a mitzvah from the Shema to Marla Nafsho Sechem to take care of eating and take care of one's health and sleeping and so on. All of these things, of course, are mitzvahs. The Ramban says, Yain b'mi'uto, even to have a little bit of wine, which Chazal say many places, a little bit of wine is something which could be beneficial in many ways, a little bit. So he says, "Ba'ilu v'chayotze behen bo ha-mitzvah hazos ha-klolis, achrei sheparat kol ha-averis she'en asuris lagamre." After the Torah has told us clearly and definitively that there are certain things that are forbidden, completely non-negotiable off limits. The Torah then moves on and says, Kedoshim Tiyu. In other words, even though Rabbi Yisai, there are many things HaKadosh Baruch Hu approves of, they're permitted. Nevertheless, there need to be guidelines set up by the Chacham, we'll talk about in a minute, and set up by one's own common sense to guarantee that even though these are things that are permitted, that doesn't necessarily mean that because they're permitted that they should be done all of the time. Just because technically in Halacha it's not Aser, that doesn't mean that it's Mutter. Now, again, how do we define this? First, let me give you another example. Again, a very famous, moving far ahead to Parshas of Eschanan, where there the Torah says, also a very vague, general mitzvah, Vasisa Hayoshev HaTov Beinei Hashem. It's also a nice thing, like Kedoshim Tiyu, be holy. And here, Vasisa Hayoshev HaTov Beinei Hashem. You should do what's Yosher and good, what's upright and what's good, Beinei Hashem. And then the Ramban's Loshen reminds us of in Kedoshim. He writes, Ki Achrei Azhoris Prote Dinim, after the Torah has told us so many actual specific dinim, mukdorim dinim, v'chol maso matan shebenon l'chaveiro, l'signov v'chulu, and after the Torah has told us all of the halachas that determine the relationship between one Jew and another, meaning not to steal and so on, all of the halachas of chayish mishpat maso matan, Omer, then the Torah tells a klal, v'asisa hayoshev hatov. Vasisa Yoshev HaTov, and the Rabban says, Sheyachnis, which means to include, Sheyichlo Ba'asei. The Torah wants to have a mitzvah saseh called Vasisa Yoshev HaTov. Kedoshim Tiyu. These interesting mitzvah saseh that don't have specific dinim, but are more general. Sheyachnis Ba'asei HaYosher Lifnim Mishur Sadin V'chulu. So for instance, in Chayshim Mishpat, which we spent years learning here in the Morning Chabura, in Chayshim Mishpat, There is something beyond the prate dinim in Chayshim Mishpat, where you have lifnim mishuras hadin, the things that I guess we would translate as above and beyond the letter of the law, lifnim mishuras hadin. But we have found in halacha, which we'll talk about in a minute, that depending upon the circumstances, that the bezdin at a particular time, at a particular place, might say that you are required to act lifnim mishur sadin in this situation. You're required to act lifnim mishur sadin. It's not just a matter of your own personal opinion, that there's a requirement to act lifnim mishur sadin. Now, in order to understand this, there's a Magid Mishnah at the very end of Hilchus Shcheinim, in the Rambam Hilchus Shcheinim. It's a Magid Mishnah. And the Magid Mishnah explains this yisod of the Ramban, of Kedoshim Tiyun, Vasisa Yoshev HaTov, where we have, as opposed to specific mitzvahs, we have more general chiyuv that the Ramban tells us in these mitzvahs. Now, he says the difference is as follows. When we're talking about the first category of mitzvahs, where we have specific dinim, specific halachas, there the Magid Mishnah says, it's mutl chayva al kol ish Yisrael b'shaveh, b'chol matzav or b'chol zman. Every Jew, whether it's Moshe Rabbeinu or Moshe the Vasetragen, every Jew is the same. When it comes to Prote Halachas, regular dinim, every Jew, whatever the matzav is, whatever the time is, whatever, it doesn't make a difference, every Jew is chayv in these mitzvahs, and only va'asher and so on. However, when we're talking about the mitzvahs klalias, where we don't have a cheftzer shel mitzvah, we don't have a specific clear din to determine the halacha. So he says over there, all we have is a klal. And the klal is that the Torah is telling us that there's a certain hanhoga haru'uya li'ish Yisrael. There's a certain mindset and a way of living that is befitting a Jew. Kedoshim Tiyu, Vasisa Yoshev HaTov. It's a general way of thinking, a general way of living, without telling us, so what do you mean? How should I be? Like, for instance, the Indian of Prushim Tiyu, so Minamutu, eating. What does it mean when it comes to eating, that I should control my eating? When it comes to other appetites that are more complicated, what exactly does that mean? So there are certain things that are found in the Gemara. The Magen Mishnah says that Chazal have given a number of klalim. For instance, pratim within these klalim. For instance, when it comes to the issue of intimacy. So there we do find that Chazal made distinctions between the own of a Talmud Chacham and regular people, how often suggested, recommended it is to be a husband and wife, and so on. And certainly, when it comes to areas of eating and so on, you know, what is a behavior that is not one of kedusha and is not something that engenders kedusha? So there are many, many things that we find in Chazal, and therefore the Magen Mishnah says that these mitzvahs klolios were given by the Torah to be mechayev every single person to think about how he in his life can try to conform to a type of behavior that is ro'i leben Yisrael. Now, does that mean that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa? In other words, if I'm a good boy and I try hard to live a life of kedoshim tiyu, or if I see Yashav HaTov that I'm being mekayim, this is the Raisa. So it's at this point that we should learn the Ramban inside, because here it's about Shabbos. Look at the Ramban. That's Parashas Emor. It's Mamash, these Parashas. Look at the Ramban. It was in yesterday's Parasha. The Torah tells us, Yelechem Shabbosam. Yilacham Shabbos. The Ramban just begins before we're really going to concentrate right on the line, but the Ramban begins, Shiya Yom Shvisa Lanuachbo. In other words, here we have an interesting mitzvah. The mitzvah of the Torah is telling us, Yilacham Shabbosam. How is that different than Losasam Alocha? I mean, the definition of Sheish Yom Tasim Lachtach of Yom Shvi. So there, the definition is that we have 39 malachas, the Lamatas malachas that we learn out from the Mishkan, and that's Hilchas Shabbos. So when the Torah is now telling us Yilechem Shabboson, what are you adding to Hilchas Shabbos? What are you telling us? Doesn't Shabbos just mean Lamatas malachas? Don't do these things. So what are you adding by telling us Yilechem Shabboson? They're supposed to have a Shabbaton. What does that mean? Yilacham Shabboson. What is Shabboson? So the Ramban begins by saying, Shia Yom Shvisa Lanuachbo. Now there's a mitzvah saseh that's called Yilacham Shabboson. It's a mitzvah saseh midaraisa. The Ramban begins by saying, Shia Yom Shvisa Lanuachbo. Yom Shvisa Lanuachbo. For instance, before we read the actual Ramban inside, there's a famous discussion that we find in the Ben Ishchai and the Chassam Sofer and many other poskim, riding a bicycle on Shabbos, going on the train, but there's no issue of money or anything like that. Going on the train, stepping onto the subway, without having to worry, where there's no issue of paying payment or whatever, it's prepaid. But things where l'chayra, there's nothing at all that's nageya to any of the lamatas malachas. There wouldn't be nageya to lamatas malachas. The bicycle, there could be potentially, but if shemisaki and tikkun mon, it could be something, but Getting onto the train. Let's say there's a train and you have the guy knows you and it's a monthly thing and to step on, it's not subways, whatever, it's on the sidewalk in the street and there's a train like you have, it's not, of course not running in Yerushalayim Chas V'Shalom Shabbos, but Litzuya, so you get onto the train. So it's a machlok, it's a poskim. So what the poskim invariably will come back to is this Ramban, is how do we define Yilacham Shabboson? In other words, the behavior of a Jew on Shabbos is not only determined by the Lamatas Malachas. There could be certain things that even if you don't violate any of the Lamatas Malachas, it's not considered to be a day which is Yom Shvisa Lanuachbo. Yom Shvisa Lanuachbo. I mean, it's unclear what exactly the garlands, because it's a mitzvah klolos, like Vesisa Yashav HaTov, Kedoshim Tiyu. Let's read the Ramban inside, from where I underlined it. V'hinei Yidrushu Shabboson Lishbos Balagamre, Afilim Midvarm She'enom Me'ovos Malachas V'telto Esayan. That the mitzvah of Yilacham Shabboson is to be shoves, to rest, even from those things She'enom Me'ovos Malachas V'telto Esayan. That have nothing to do with Lamatas Malachas or the Taldas. Avalon is Baraliza. But the Ramban says that it's not clear. Avalon is Baraliza. Why? Shim toime shuas machta. If you're saying that this pasuk of Yilachem Shabbosan, if it's not smachta, if it's to try to find some support in the words of the Torah, to restrict certain things that are not part of the Lama Tas Malachis, ma tam shiomber loshna hazeh. Kishus b'lashonim nemer la'olam al shel devrayim. Now we're familiar with the lashon of Shabbason or Shavuos. Generally, Shavuos, as you all know, is when we have an Issur d'Rabbanan. Right? The Shavuosim of Shabbos are the Issurim where Chazal came along. What did Chazal do? Chazal wanted to protect the Kedusha of Shabbos, to defend the sanctity of Shabbos. Therefore, they created many, 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 many Shavuosim, many d'Rabbanans, in order to see to it that Shabbos would be preserved in its Kedusha. So the Ramban is troubled by, so what is this mitzvah of Yelechem Shabbason? We have the Lamatas Melachas from the Torah, A. Then we have Chazal, who came along and created a magnificent defense mechanism to see to it that Shabbos would be protected. So the Ramban has a problem with what is this mitzvah, I say. If something is Nisa D'Rabbanan, that's what it is. It's Nisa D'Rabbanan. So what is the mitzvah sase of Yelechem Shabbason? What is that? It's either Lamatas Malachis, the Raisa, or we have the D'Rabbanans, Medivrayim. So what's the mitzvah of the Torah, Yelechem Shabbason? It would have been more comprehensible if it would have said, those things, if there would have been a drasha from Chazal that would have been easy for us to understand, so it would say, those things that are not a malacha, minayin, from where do we learn out? Talmalama Shabbason. But that's not what Chazal says. So he says, Venirali Shahamedris is Alomash and it's Davinim and Atar. Look what the Ramban says. It's a tremendous yesod. He says, Nirali, Shahamedris is Alomar, that this drush of Chazal is to teach us. Shinitztavinu min how Chazal understood the pasuk of Yelacham Shabbason. Shinitztavinu min Hatorah. Lios lono menucha biyantiv, yantiv and Shabbos. He's just talking in the context of yantiv. Shnitztavinu min Hatorah, lios lono menucha biyantiv, afilu medvarim she'enim melacha. Okay, even from those things that are not one of the Lamtas Malachas. Lo sheyitrach kol hayom limdod hatvuos, because midaraisa, one could spend the entire day going into the silo and checking how much he has and looking over everything to see how inventory is doing. Velushkol haperis midaraisa, to weigh the peris and so on. From Atonus, Lomale Chavoyus Yain, he could be spending the entire day of Yantiv of Shabbos filling barrels with wine. The Lifnei Sakelim, he could be moving things around in the shop and so on. The Gam Havonim, Yibayis Labayis, Mokal Mokum, he could be moving things around from one place to another, heavy objects and so on. If there's no issue of Tchum Shabbos or of Erev and so on, if there's no problem of Hotzah, then theoretically we could spend the whole Yontov, spend the whole Shabbos schlepping and pushing and pulling and so on. With Ta'inim of fruits, with all different fruits and so on. V'chol Masa Yaviyu B'Yontov, there's no issue of carrying and schlepping anything. And not only that, the marketplace, the Jewish stores could be open. Okay, Kol Mekach Umemkar. We'll talk about that in a moment. There's a problem of a Shus Midirabbanan when it comes to Mekach Umemkar that we're touching upon in the lovers that Rabbi Levin was doing right now. Okay, we're afraid of Shema Yichto, Shema Yimchok, right? That the person might, when it comes to Mekach Umemkar, there's a Shus Midirabbanan that you need to write down. You're going to have to write things down. You're going to erase or to write and so on. But theoretically, it would be possible for a person to have a store open and to be able to conduct business. V'tia achonus pesucha. Imagine on Shabbos Yontif, the stores would be open. V'achenvoni makif, v'ashulchanim al shulchanim, v'azuvim lefneim. V'yu ha'polim mashkimin lemelachton, Shabbos morning, the people get up early to go to work, u'maskir in atzmum kechol, and they would hire themselves out like on a weekday, le'devar me'elu v'chayotze b'hen. V'hutru ayom ha'tov ma'elu v'afilu ha'shabbos atzma, shebechol ze ein b'hem mishum melacha. And every single one of these people are going to work on Shabbos morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever is going to work, on Shabbos or Yontif, no one could be held in contempt of Shabbos. As far as Lamatas and Malachas are concerned, nothing. Lekach Amr Torah Shabbosom, Shiyeh Yom Shvisa Umenucha Lo Yom Torah. Zo Perish Tov V'yotha. Therefore, the Torah has a mitzvah to say that's called Yom Shabbosom. And Yom Shabbos should Yie Yom Shvisu Menucha Lo Yom Torah. So the way the Chassam Sofer and others explain this Ramban is, for instance, the Marshal. If an individual person conducted some business, not with anything that would be with writing or so, but he conducted Mecca Chomemka. He made a deal. Could be some of the biggest deals in the world are made around the Shabbos table. It's Shabbos Gered, right? First, you always have to say it's Shabbos Gered. So, or a person, let's say, an individual person was matriach a certain tiyach yisera, that he was moving something heavy in the house on Shabbos or on Yontif. So, the way the Chassam Sofer explains is that the Ramban is not telling us that individual has been over on the mitzvah sasei of Shabbos. So, he says, sof kol sof, we have isun drabanan, we have isurei shvus. And for instance, with Mekach HaMemkar, there's a gzeira shem lo yavel yichtav. As far as individuals are concerned, there's a drabanan that you can't conduct business. You can't have a discussion about business because you might come to write something down. And that's as far as the individual is concerned. He says, so it's poshut that the mitzvah of Shabbason is really speaking more, the Chassam Sofer says, about a general hanhaga that sees to it to guarantee that Shabbos and Yontov will be Yimei Menucha v'lo Yimei Tircha v'amal. So the Chassam Sofer writes the following. V'had Osu Chacham, it's an Orech Chaim, Semin Reish Ches. You don't have it on the page, but V'had Osu Chacham in Mekach U'memka Mishum Shem V'yechtoiv, we have an Isidra Banan, Deraisa. This is an Isidra Banan, that you can't conduct business, why? Because Shem V'yechtoiv. Hainu Yochit Li'chidi Bi'ikroi. So when the Chacham made these Isurei Drabanan, these Isurim Drabanan, Isur Shavuz, it means that this person is conducting business, so the Chacham came along and said that there's Nisad Rabbanan because of Shema Yichtav. And the Chassam Sofer explains, Haini Yochel Yechidi Be'ikroi, Avo Leftoach HaChanus. So that's talking about two people talking about business, so there's Nisad Rabbanan, there's a Shavus of Shema Yichtav, that you might come to write something. Avo Leftoach HaChanus, however, to open a business, Ulahamid Po'alim Ve'litoin Agolus, and to hire workers, and to load up wagons with merchandise, daraisehi ba'asei d'shvisa. This is daraisa. It's you're being mevatel the mitzvah of daraisa. It's not a lav. It's not. There's no lametes malacha. But you're being mevatel the mitzvah sasei of shvisa. And the Chassam Sofer writes that a person whose Shabbos is no different than his chol. Kagon, he gives the example again. This was obviously something that was going on. A person would open the store. Kagon, somebody who opens the store. Afilum hu nizor b'chol lametes hamalachis. It's an interesting question. You have in Eretz Yisrael, again, there are poskim there, so I'm sure that they. It's meant like when you have store, you have restaurants that are open on Shabbos, yeah, and you get a card. You get a meal card, and they take care of all the expenses before Shabbos. There's people that need a place the restaurants have it's a very large business. I know in Eretz Yisrael, even when I lived there 40 years ago, it was a very big business to have restaurants that are open on Shabbos and on Yontif, and it looks like the store is like looks like a regular weekday. So the Chassam, I don't know again, but the Chassam Sofer says that afilu nizo b'chol lametes malachas harehu kemechalel haShabbos b'ferhasya shedino kemumul lachol haTorah kula v'muvdal mikahal Yisrael. That a person who opens a business on Shabbos, even if there's no isra of any of the lametes malachas, But this person, he calls, the Chassam Sefer calls him Mechal Shabbos Befehesia, is moved al Mekahal Yisrael. He's not part of the Jewish people. To do such a thing, to open up one's business on Shabbos. And the underlying yisod of all of this is this mitzvah, what the Ramban defines as a mitzvah klolis of Shabbosin Yilechem, Yom Shabbosin Yilechem. Again, the way the Magid Mishnah defines it, I didn't read to you the sentence, but the way the Magid Mishnah defines it is Hadavar Mischalef Lefi Hazman V'Ha'ishim. When it comes to the specific dinim of the Lamedes Malachis, again, there are many machlokes in, when it comes to the dinim of Lamedes Malachis, the Deraises and the Shvusim Midirabbanan, that's for every person at every time. That's across the board. And when there are chilukim, because of Hefsed Merub or whatever it is, those are all woven into the halacha. The Magid Mishnah says, what the Ramban is talking about, however, is that it's Hadov HaMeschalef Lefi HaZman V'Ha'ishim. It depends. It depends upon the time. It depends on what the Gedolei Yisrael see as being a bittul of this mitzvah saseh of Yom Shabbos on Yilechem, of Shvisa, that needs to be a Shvisa Nikeris. The Chassam Sofer was opposed to using the trains on Shabbos for this very same reason. He said that even though there's no Lamedes Melacha, assuming that there's no problem of Tchum Shabbos, there's no problem of Tchum Shabbos, going on the train and being on the train on Shabbos is a bittul of this requirement of the Torah that it should be Yom Menucha, below Yom Omal V'Torah, a day that's a Shvisa Nikeres. But the Shvisa is an obvious Shvisa that's a Shabbos L'Hashem. So there are certain things, again, I'm not referring specifically to this new invention that they're talking about, the Shabbos, where it's not a matter of whether or not one of the Lamedes Malachis is being violated. It, of course, is a matter of that as well, because as far as a sick person is concerned, using the hospitals and so on, that's something else. And it's certainly a wonderful thing to be able to help in those areas, with those people, in those situations. And this is already an old thing in Israel. It's been already for 30 years. Rav Levi Yitzchak Halpern, the whole Machon LeTechnologi, has been working these things for years. And the hospitals are using this in Israel. But as far as Is Shabbos considered to be still the same old Shabbos that we love when you walk into the room and every room you walk into you're turning lights on and off? So besides the question of Grom and Psikresha, would there be an issue here of being Mevatel, the Mitzvah Asay, of Midaraisa, of Shabbos and Yilechem, there should be a Shvisa, Yom Menucha, Shvisa Nikaris? Probably the one who's designing this, I'm not putting words into his mouth, he might say, it'll be a more enjoyable Shabbos. But then we're talking the language of people say, I enjoy Shabbos going to the ball game, I enjoy Shabbos going to the beach. And that's the language of Amratzim, and that's not the language of Jews who are observant of Torah Mitzvah. Hashem should help us, Mitzvah Hashem, to continue to learn more and more between Rabbi Levin and myself, to be focused on not just on the Lamedes Malachis, but on all of the things surrounding Lamedes Malachis, to see to it that Shabbos be lived with Kedusha Shabbos. Shkai.
I don't know if I'm sure there is any Rabbanim.
The hotels.